We'll call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting to order for Wednesday, March 10th, 2021, at 8:45 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That sounds good with a full room.
It really does. It's nice to see a full room. The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Haxby, Schuler, Thiemann, Dorn, Byers, and Lytle. Before we go to the consent agenda, I got a call from Senator Dorn last night. It's nice to have some good news. LB 103, which was the bill he was putting through the Appropriations Committee, passed out of committee last night unanimously. With one major change. Senator Erdman made an amendment to it to change the dollar amount from $2 million over the next 2 years to $5 million a year over the next 2 years.
Whoa. Wow.
I was so excited on that. Senator Dorn has been working behind the scenes. Supervisor Hill, the two of them worked hand in hand back and forth with the legislature last year and the year before. Some of the stuff is finally coming to fruition. So it takes years sometimes to get through this stuff, but it's going. Senator Dorn wanted to make sure we thank Senator Erdman for really hammering on this too. Said he really pushed hard. When some of the supervisors went up and talked, Chairman Stenner also made some comments to Emily about how she should probably run for legislature. He was pretty impressed with her. I know that didn't hurt any either, but they...
I'm running her campaign.
Well, you have some experience there, Senator.
Has anybody told Myron?
Myron's the one that told me. he was pretty excited, but it's baby steps. It's a single. It's not a home run, but at least it's out of committee. That's a heck of a battle right there. So it's nice to have some really good news for once instead of just doom and gloom all the time. So I wanted to start with that. Up next, the consent agenda. Approved general agenda, approved minutes of the meeting held February 27th, 2021. Approve all claims through March 10th, 2021 in the amount of $608,720.05. Accept claim number 21030003 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $3,050 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve register of deeds. Fees, report, and district court summary fee, report for the month of February 2021. Receive county audit for fiscal year ending 6/30/2020 and place on file. Receive and place on file the Adams Rescue 2020 annual report. Approve advertising for an assistant highway superintendent. Approve utility permit number 1181 to Scott Spilker. He'll be boring an 8-inch diameter for an 8-inch PVC water line and boring a 4-inch diameter for a 480 three-phase electric line 5 foot below bottom of Greater Ditch and under Township Road for 66 feet, located approximately 2,900 feet north of Hickory Road on Southwest 32nd Road in the northeast quarter section and northwest quarter section 9, Township 4 North, Range 6 East, Midland Township.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Haxby, second by Dorn. Any discussion on the consent agenda? Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 21030003 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $3,050. This brings the total amount of claims approved through March 10th, 2021. To $611,770.05. This is one of my companies.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Dorn. Discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Anyone may comment on any matter that is not on this agenda. However, no board action can be taken until the following board meeting unless the board declares it an emergency. This would just be for any future agenda items anyone would like to bring up. Seeing none, We'll move on to discuss and approve or disapprove resolution supporting the Second Amendment. This is a resolution we've talked about the last couple weeks. Guessing this is why a lot of you are here. So the sheriff was taking a sign-up sheet for people that would like to speak. We thought we'd allow some time for people to give some comment here if they would like to. Tried to get this earlier in the meeting so that everyone's not tied up all day that has to go to work.
I didn't know if anybody was on or not.
Ashley Mason, Bev Acton, Jim Kiffin. Anybody?
Whoever's on there first, do you want to just read their name?
Ashley Mason's first.
Ashley Mason. Counselor, we don't need to swear them in, just name and address for record. Or
official public
document that way they want to continue to sign it.
Name and record or name and address.
Anyone else?
There you go.
Thank you. Could you give your name and address for the record, please?
My name is Ashley Mason and 1300 Lincoln Street here in Beatrice.
Thank you.
So I want to thank you all for your time today. I also want to thank Senator Byers for standing up for constitutional rights of all citizens. Today I'm speaking on behalf of a group of people here in attendance and many more who were unable to attend today's early morning meeting. This resolution from the Gage County Board is not a far-fetched reach for the County Board to be addressing, as some may feel. I want to start by reminding everyone of the oath taken by this board. I do so solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Nebraska, upholding the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely and without mental reservation or for the purpose of evasion, and that I will faithfully and impartially perform duties of the office of Gage County Supervisor according to law and to the best of my ability. And I do further swear that I do not advocate, nor am I a member of any political party or organization that advocates the overthrow of the government of the United States or of this state by force or violence, and that during such time as I am in the position, I will not advocate nor become a member of any political party or organization that advocates for the overthrow of the government of the United States or of this state by force or violence, so help me God. Your first duty on this board is to uphold the Constitution as it is written. Next, I'd like to speak on the Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The right of the people, to spell this out, a militia is a group of citizens that provide their own arms, meet occasionally to be trained and are organized. You and I are in the United States militia by the decree of the U.S. Constitution if you have acknowledged that you are a U.S. citizen. This is necessary. Such a militia made up of you and me is not a luxury or subject to whim. It's necessary. This is the only thing the entire Constitution says is necessary. It's the only place the word necessary appears in the document. The Constitution does not say the Congress is necessary. The Constitution does not say the President is necessary. The Constitution does not say the Supreme Court is necessary. The Constitution says only the militia is necessary. Why is this? Because political power grows out of the barrel of a gun. It goes on to say, to the security of a free state. If you want security and you want freedom, it is necessary to have a political structure that will provide that. Why is this? Because political power goes out of the barrel of a gun. It continues, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The United States is a self-governing nation. The political structure that is governed by is we the people. Thus, the people, organized as a militia, have the right to keep and bear armaments. This means, since you are a member of the militia, by virtue of the fact that you claim to be a U.S. citizen, you have the right to own guns, and you have the right to keep such guns on your person whenever and wherever you wish. Chairman Mao of China so observantly said, political power grows out of the barrel of a gun. If the people's right to keep and bear arms is infringed, taken away or not exercised, or restricted by further laws, then they will not be the source of the self-governing nation the Constitution says they are supposed to be. Some other entity will take political power if the people don't keep it. If that happens, then you do not have a self-governing nation. It will be lost. Political power goes out of the barrel of a gun. If the government is the one with the guns, then they are the ones with the political power. If the police or the militia are the ones with the guns, then they are the ones with the political power. If the Congress or President are the ones with the guns, then they are the ones with the political power. If multinational corporations or the UN are the ones with the guns, then they are the ones with the political power. If the ordinary Joe is the one with the gun, then he is the one with the political power. I'd like to now speak on the role of the sheriff. A sheriff's seat at the county level was created by the U.S. Constitution and updated to the most current version of the Nebraska Constitution. The sheriff has jurisdiction across his entire county and is said to be the chief law enforcement official of the county and is the buffer between the people and government. While upholding the rule of law for the government, the sheriff also has the ability to uphold the constitutional rights of the people to protect them from government overreach on local, state, and federal levels. The county sheriff is the last line of defense when it comes to upholding and defending the Constitution. A sheriff's duty goes far beyond writing tickets, making arrests, and operating jails. A sheriff also has an obligation to protect the constitutional rights of the citizens of his county. All sheriffs take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic. To sum it all up, the Constitution was designed for the United States citizens to self-govern and for the government to serve we the people. It has not stayed in the proper form and of use as our founders intended, and we the people, you and I, need to start taking back our country one county at a time through one vote at a time. Every vote counts. Will you vote and uphold our constitutional rights, or will you violate your oath, violate the Gage County citizens' rights, and vote in opposition of the Constitution? Know that your vote will ring loud and clear to the Gage County citizens when the election comes around again. You are each elected officials, and the citizens are watching you today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Hope you're listening, Sheriff. Beverly Acton, would you give your name and address for the record, please?
Beverly Acton, 31250 South 94th Road. I reside in District Number 6.
Good morning.
Good morning. I don't know. That's pretty hard to follow. That was a nice job, young lady. Mine comes more from the heart. I guess I'm asking the Board of Supervisors to support this as a whole. If you take time and look at the bill HR 127 that is now has been submitted, it's on the White House document, and you really take a good look at it, are they taking our guns away? No, they're not. They're going to make it so difficult for us to be able to keep them over time. That's how they're taking them away from us. You know, you just look into all the testing you have to go through, psychological evaluations. I looked at the one, anybody who's been on depression medicine, are they just going to kick you out? How many mothers, after we had babies, were put on depression medicine? How many of us, when we went through a change of life, were put on depression medicine? And are we still on it? Probably no. The bulk of people are not. But is that going to kick you or somebody out? You know, you got to look into everything they're writing into that, and you need to read that bill. And then think about if you want to support your county and say, yeah, we need to start here. That's all I have.
Thank you, Bev.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask the group a question just to...
Let's
I just want to know how many read the resolutions.
Well, we don't have a resolution that's we don't have
draft.
A resolution.
We've got
yet.
Draft.
If anyone wants to look at the resolution, we have copies of a couple drafts up here in front of Scott. They're the two with the clips on them. They don't really mean anything until we act on them. They're just a little bit of writing for now. And I've tried to explain this to Supervisor Shuler. It's an awkward concept. No one can see what we vote on, really, until we vote on it. Because, I mean, they can see it. You can look at what we have for drafts. But we have multi-page drafts. We have a single one-sided sheet draft. It's really hard to say, hey, look at what we're voting on. Because the day of, any member here can take everything that's on there, gut it, and start from scratch. So I know that's a tough concept, Don, but... It's the way the system works, because with the people here, hopefully we listen and we take that into account, so everything can change the day of. It won't become a resolution until the second we vote.
And then it's too late.
Well, I hope it's not.
It's too late for the public to comment on what's in the resolution. You all need to know what's in the resolutions before you make a decision on whether we should support it or not.
Well, and we'll read through what we're looking at before we support anything. Most of this is ideological, so, I mean, it's not on the specifics. You have something brief, Ms. Hatchby?
No, I was just, we're hearing from the public, their input, so just wanted to...
I apologize. The third person on here, I believe it's Jim... Guthrie? Would you please give your name and...
Yep. Jim Crabtree. I live at 1516 Bell. I'd like to first start off by thanking this board for considering this resolution. I don't think it's going to come as a surprise to any of you that our Second and First Amendment rights are under the most severe assault that I've ever seen. Unfortunately, there are some people at the federal and state level who would love nothing more than to restrict or eliminate some of these constitutional rights. For those of you that I'm sure most of you keep your pulse on the what the public's feeling are, the public's in no mood for any nonsense that's coming out of Washington, D.C. especially. I don't know how many of you have tried to buy ammunition lately or a gun. Good luck. Good luck. You know, as someone who served in the military, as I'm sure some of you have, there's an old military adage that comes to mind, and due to the presence of our fairer sex, I will sanitize it. And essentially it's, you never go tinky-poo-poo in your own mess gear. Now, unfortunately, some of these misguided individuals are going to try and do just that. So I guess the only thing we can say is bon appetit. But I don't know if you're aware, I have found out that right now in Washington, D.C., there are two bills being introduced in the House. One is by Representative James Clyburn, Democrat of South Dakota. His bill seeks to extend the FBI delay of a background check from 3 days to 21. Really nice. Second one, Representative Mike Thompson of California. His bill is a real corker. His bill seeks to outlaw private sales of used firearms unless they are processed through a licensed dealer. Now, there's no restriction on our rights. A Department of Justice study in 2019 shows that a vast majority of the criminals that commit a crime with a firearm obtain it either through black market sources or theft. I can tell you this. I, for one, am going to keep a close eye on all Second Amendment legislation. I'm going to continue to make my feelings known through my voice, my vote, and my checkbook. I encourage the board to adopt this resolution. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Sheriff, you might ask if there's anyone else out there that wants to sign up to speak. There is a sign-up sheet in here. Up next, Mr. Book. Mr. Book, would you give your name and address for the record, please?
My name is Eric Book. I live at 1214 East U.S. Highway 136, Beatrice, Nebraska. Good morning. I am joined today by my children, McKinley, Jordan, and Cameron Book, and I'm here today for them and what type of future we're going to leave our children. I am a Marine Corps veteran, but above all, I am a patriot to this great nation, and I have read the resolution, and that's why I'm here today. I took an oath to the Constitution to defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I take it very seriously, as do many veterans do here in Gage County, and oath keepers alike. I believe that members of this board took that same oath, and I ask for you today to honor your oath and support this Second Amendment resolution. I have heard people question this and say, why do we need this attention here? Or we're wasting our time with this, or even worse, claim to be a supporter of the Second Amendment, but are unable to see the sense of urgency to send a message to Washington, D.C. And this message is this, that we will not comply to anything unconstitutional. Thomas Jefferson said, when the government fears the people, there is liberty, but when the people fear the government, there is tyranny. The language today in Washington is very dangerous and reckless when it comes to our freedoms being stripped away and our Second Amendment rights being infringed upon. Like people mentioned before, look at H.R. 127. Just for a refreshment, the Second Amendment states a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And so there is no question who the militia is, because that's a common misconception. One of our founding fathers, George Mason, who was the delegate at the Constitutional Convention, said, I ask, who are the militia? They consist now of the whole people. George Washington said at the same Constitutional Convention, a free people not only be armed, but disciplined. Freedom is not free. It must continually be fought for and stood up to. Tyranny must always be stood up to, and this resolution does this. We are not the only county doing this, or even state for that matter. As a matter of fact, right down the road, Kansas is a Second Amendment sanctuary state with the same type of terminology as the same resolution proposes today. If you take a look at the Second Amendment sanctuary county map online, it will really take you by surprise as to how many there are. I have a copy right here for you. You can go online. You can see there's a lot of dark areas there. This was just in January. I believe it's been updated since then. You're welcome to look at it or go online and look at it. The United States is the greatest example for freedom in the history of our earth. It is the shining city on the hill. There's no place for freedom to run. America was founded not on a king or a queen or a monarch or a royal family or a dictator or a pharaoh. No, it was founded on an idea that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are God-given inalienable rights that are given to us at birth, that are guaranteed to us in the Constitution. And the Second Amendment is the last resort to protect these precious rights and freedoms that we enjoy here today in America. It is, without a doubt, liberty's teeth. Some believe that the United States is a democracy, but this is not true. It is actually a perfect example of a constitutionally protected republic. A pure democracy would be a form of government in which the leaders, while elected by the people, are not constrained by a constitution as to its actions. In a republic, however, elected officials cannot take away or violate certain rights of the people. This current administration in Washington, D.C. is not hiding their agenda anymore. They are methodically taking it bit by bit, and this is by design. I believe Vladimir Lenin said it best when he said how to cook a frog. You don't throw a frog into a boiling pot of water, it'll jump out. You slowly turn up the heat, and before you know it, the frog is cooked. We've heard it before, and this is sad to say, but I believe that we used to have a First Amendment in this country. Remember, freedom of speech, religion, press, peacefully assemble. We used to have freedom of speech, but the truth and conservative thought is being censored every day. We used to have freedom of religion. God is being taken out of everywhere. They can shut down our churches while Walmart, Costco, and the bars stay open. And they are now attempting to restrict what is being preached in our churches. Look at the Equality Act. We used to have freedom of press, but now it is all controlled propaganda. We used to have the right to peacefully protest, but that is a thing of the past. Peaceful protest is now scrutinized while cities are being burned across America, and they call it progress. Do you see where we're at now in our country and why our genius founders put the Second Amendment right after the First Amendment? I ask that you recognize this threat to our freedom, honor your oath, and vote for this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Book. Well said. We are wanting to stay to 5 minutes or less, and he had that pretty much to the T on 5 minutes. So, thank you, Bill Ambrose.
Yeah, I'm Bill Ambrose. I live at 701 Washington in town here.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. And as you can see, the shirt that I have on here. This is the oldest gun maker in America. They're in financial trouble because of our political agenda this day. And it's sad to see one of the oldest companies in this country may be going bankrupt and going out of business, okay? And what that guy just talked about there, history repeats itself. This is exactly how one individual tried to control and murdered millions of people, and we all know who we're talking about. Don't ever forget that. History repeats itself. Now, to this stuff that they want to do in Washington, they want you to register my gun. They want me to insure my gun, okay? My gun doesn't drive down the street. Why do I need to insure it, okay? My gun's not going to hurt anybody. Why do I need to register it? They set it home in the cabinet. It's not going to drive down the street like a car. It can't hurt anybody unless somebody picks it up. It's an inanimate object. See what I'm saying? It doesn't do no harm to nobody. It takes the person to do the harm. So go after the problem. Go after the people that are causing the trouble. The gun is an easy target. Just like everybody's complaining about this with Russia and this with China, like they said in the media, they're easy targets, and that's why everybody's going after them. But please do not let history repeat itself in our country. Okay? And there's a music video out with that nice guy from North Korea making basically whoopee to a nuclear rocket. Now, we all know how Trump had to deal with this guy. And yet they're making a video for our children to watch on TV in this country. How far would they do if they tried to make one of them with Hitler? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. There's a sign-up sheet here. If there's anyone that wants to speak that hasn't signed up, please do so. We have another speaker, Lowell Dell.
I'm Lowell Dell and live on South 66th Road, south of Rockford, mile and a half.
Good morning.
I hope it's a good morning. I think it is. It's a lot better than some others we've seen recently. I'd like to speak in opposition to this resolution because I think it's, we have the Second Amendment rights. Not that I participate in that. I've never had a gun and firearm in my life, except for a .22 we use for euthanizing sick animals. I've had employees who have been just overwhelmed with the desire to go hunting, and they have. But I've never participated in that kind of thing, partially because I don't care to have firearms. I don't want to have firearms. I don't believe that their use is a beneficial way to resolve issues. And so I don't think that this is the resolution is helpful in going to places we need to go. If we want to protect rights, we ought to be protecting rights like voting and health care and things like that. And we ought to address those. I don't know if this is the place, the county, but what this resolution does is just emphasizes our reliance on force to create structure within the society. And I just think that we need to step away from that and not be so focused on forcing the issue with people. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Do we have anyone else signed up to speak, or would anyone else like to speak? Galen, would you give your name and address for the record, sir?
Yes, yes, Galen Begier, 21648 Southwest 45th Road.
Morning.
Yes, thank you. I am really kind of perplexed about what I've so far heard, because obviously I've been raised quite differently than I suppose many of you. And that is that power comes from the point of gun. And that was stressed over and over. that political power comes from the point of a gun. I don't know, but when I was have been raised growing up in a faith that I have cherished, they would say to this, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus say that power comes from the point of a gun? Even I can't imagine many pastors in this community would say political power or power comes from the point of a gun. It just blows me away. I'm sorry. That is one point. It would seem to me it would come from the life and message that Jesus taught when he walked on earth. It was not threat or weaponry or this type of thing. It was through compassion, love, and acceptance. The Good Samaritan type of thing. That story, I would think we ought to emulate more than threat of and fear of rights being taken away. I live outside of town a ways, and I run into this problem quite often. People come down there and want to shoot. They want to shoot. Well, where do they shoot? Where do they have the right to shoot? Not long ago, there was a car parked on the railroad right away, on the tracks, straddled the tracks, parked there. I thought it was stalled. And I thought, gosh, I got to call the sheriff because this is an operative railroad track. And I got that. And if I see a train coming, I need to get in there and push that car off of the track. Well, the sheriff came, and they called Burlington Northern and shut down, had this line apparently shut down till that car was off there. And I thought, well, where are the people in this, you know, that abandoned this vehicle? And lo and behold, of course, I heard shots, and I thought, well, I know what they're doing. They're doing practice shooting. And I can hear the shots when they practice shoot down on my property or in that area for a mile and a half away. And I think, gosh, those shots, they're not using BB guns or pellet guns. You know, they're real. And I farm down there. I work down there. And this ongoing practice shooting goes on. Now, maybe I deserve, you know, not to be around very long. But, you know, if so, talk to my wife, you know, see if it's okay, you know, because sometimes I don't really care, you know, what other people do. I'll try to be, you know, be patient and compliant and help to, you know, because I don't think that guns ought to be outlawed at all, because I have one. I use one. Again, if there's a stray animal that's threatening my flock or something like that, I use it. But anyway, but the thought that came to me, anybody that would park a vehicle in that position and go shoot on my property, which supposedly is trespassing, what kind of good judgment do they have in operating a gun if they park the vehicle on the railroad track? Everybody knows that's a no-no, right? But the sheriff came and he said, well, regarding this no trespassing sign, he said, when you go to court, the judge will first ask, was there a trespassing sign there? And, well, I pointed out, you know, there is, or was. If you look over there, there's a sign. It was a sign, but it was shot out. And if you look around there in the country where we're at, I don't know how I'm doing for time.
No, I'm sorry. Just dinged at me out of text. I'm sorry.
Really, another thing. The destruction, which is never mentioned, of wrecking a county property, shooting out signs, it has to be astronomical statewide. Why don't, you know, and what would they say if you assessed a little bit of a tax on their gun ownerships or some sort of fee to pay for that? Why should I pay for, you know, others to, you know, wreck and have their rights exercised when, you know, they don't pay for it? So anyway, I thought that was interesting. I said, of course, you can't see when they shoot out signs and you have trespassing signs there. You can't make your case, I guess. I was looking on the internet just for last night, I guess, and at guns and gun violence, and they said this past year was a record amount of gun violence and death in this country, and I think it was up about 25%, and they also attributed that to increased gun sales. I know someone mentioned that there are fewer guns available now. So, okay, so that's, you know, that's, and it seems like this should be it's a celebration of you know, all the you know, of the Second Amendment. And again, the Second Amendment is, should not exceed the priority of the Bible, which should be based on the life and message that Jesus taught, and the Second Amendment should come second. So the other thing is, of course, the childhood. I'll just shut with this. The amount of child, thousands of children are die each year due to gun violence. And why haven't we talked about that? Where's the pro-life movement on that? Why don't they say something about that? Or when we lock children up on the border, where's the pro-life movement? They should be out in the streets protesting. I would probably even join them. But, you know, it's just amazing that they contend to advocate for the health and welfare of children inside the womb, but when they're outside the room, they do this. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Has anyone else signed up to speak at all, Sheriff? Okay.
I'd like to make a response to what the gentleman said about the signs, if I can, please.
I think we'll move forward. The signs are a little off topic.
Yeah.
But I want to thank everybody for coming. This is how democracy works. It's not always always pretty. It's messy sometimes. I want to thank both sides. This is what we need. Oh, well, we have Patty Milligan that wants to speak, too.
Just a question.
Name and address for the record, please.
Patty Milligan, 816 West D, Wymore, Nebraska.
Thank you.
I guess my question is, why was this even brought up, this resolution?
I can answer that. I was watching the news, and I saw Cherry County, which we've brought up multiple times in the wind discussions, or Mr. Hill did. They were a sanctuary gun county. And I asked Don to look into that, talk to other clerks. What can we do to move forward to make Gage County something like that? As soon as I started looking into it, all of Kansas had already done this. Some people watch baseball all the time. Some people watch football. I watch news and study politics. I mean, I enjoy it. And I started looking at some of the legislation coming through, and it's scary. Mr. Shuler said, where's the threat? And it's like H.R. 127 right there. If you own a gun and you loan it to me and you don't register that or inform the government of that, you're now a felon. You're subject to $50,000 to $150,000 fine. And 15 to 25 years in jail, either are mandatory or both. That's not okay. And I started seeing things like that. Can we change that? No. But what we can do is make a statement, the same as the other counties, which it started with Cherry. I think there's 8 more now. Ms. Haxby told me there's over 1,000 counties now in the great U.S. that have already done this. It's just a reaffirmation of our God-given rights. I mean, every morning, Patty, when you wake up here, you are one of the luckiest people in the world because you wake up an American.
Absolutely.
And people forget that. I was blessed with having an immigrant for a grandfather who came over just pre-World War II Germany to the U.S. I wasn't told that you could do this. I was told you should do this. And I was told every day how lucky we are. It's really easy because I've never known hunger. I've never known to do without. In the U.S., no one our age has. I mean, the older generations, perhaps, but no one in our age group has. And that's because of the rights we have. With that, it's really easy to take those for granted. It's just there, right? It'll never go away. Nothing bad will ever happen. Just stay with the flow. We get elected. Let's sit in these chairs. Don't talk about the stuff that's controversial. That's what'll get you fired. Somebody else will take your seat. Well, there comes a time when you have to stand up for something, and I'd rather get fired than just let stuff go. I mean, this isn't a lifetime position. This is something that the people give us the opportunity to represent them, and I appreciate that, but that's really where it came from. This is important.
Okay, so things that are really important to me, I'm not against this amendment, not at all. I believe there's a lot of things that give me great anxiety with what's gone on in the world. You know, I stepped off of a plane in 2014 and Sandy Hook happened. You know, I can't even imagine what would have went through anybody's mind with that. And, you know, we understand that that child was mentally ill that did that shooting. And I'm just saying, I don't think it's about for or against. I think there's better things we can do to make things better. I think there's mental health that needs to be looked at. I think those are truly things that not everybody should own a gun. And, you know, when I sat in that office, I've watched people walk out the door at Lori's office, slamming the door before we had the push-pull. You know, I've been in situations where, you know, I'm not sure if anybody has a gun, in, you know, on them or, in, you know, in their purse or whatever. I just guess the rhetoric has got to stop, and we've got to be able to talk to each other. We've got to be able to say, we're not going to take your guns, we're not going to do this, but we've got to be able to talk to each other. And so that's where my whole thing is coming from, you know. And I know, I think this was brought up once before when Myron was on the board, wasn't it? It never was. Okay. Because Myron came in and talked to me. We had a talk after the Capitol situation happened.
I brought up something else previously, but Roger reminded me you are the public. It's easy to forget that since we work back and forth all the time. But so we shouldn't debate back and forth since we.
Well, I'm not. I'm just saying that just because I'm standing here doesn't mean that I'm against guns. But I have some real concerns. I mean, I really do, and I think that those discussions need to go forward and need to go on. And, you know, just I saw it on the agenda, and I thought, there's things that concern me. And mental health is one of them. And some of the things, and I'm not sure that everybody, you know, there's more things and more dialogue that has to be discussed to figure out what can be done. And I don't know that, do you guys disagree? I mean, not that we're debating, but I'm not against them. I'm just saying there's a lot of things that need to be done. In my opinion. So, my two cents.
Thank you, Ms. Milligan. And she makes a really good point, too. These are things that we do need to debate. These aren't a lot of the population now, you can't debate. If you don't say, Don and I disagree on a lot of things, but we can visit. You need to be able to debate things. Debate things hard. Go in, state what you're thinking. But that doesn't mean that you can't get along afterwards. I mean, that's the way democracy is supposed to work. You're supposed to be able to openly debate, freely debate, and know that you're going to be able to go home and come back and do it the next day. Is there anyone else that would like to speak?
I have one question.
Could you come to the microphone, please, sir? And give your name and address for the record, please.
John Moore, 1617 North 12th, Beatrice. My question is, I have an old antique collection of old firearms, and if they start taxing all these individually, it would wipe out my collection. It'd cost me more than what it's worth. And it's they're mostly of historic value. And I would sure hate to see something like this get put under. And basically, it's for me and entertain my friends. And when we used to have a shooting club, we'd take these out and fire them occasionally. And it was partially for training youth and showing them what the old stuff did. And it'd be a big loss to history if they took this away. That's all I had to say.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Would anyone else from the public like to speak? Like I say, before we get into this more, I would just like to thank everybody again. It's wonderful to have a full room saying the Pledge of Allegiance. It's wonderful to have a full room of people participating in local government. I guess prior to our discussion, I had asked for a motion to approve or disapprove this resolution, and then if we have a motion and a second, we'll discuss. Ms. Hattersby.
I would like to ask.
She had her hand up first.
Just 1 second, Mr. Schuler. Ms. Hattersby.
I'd like to move to approve this shorter resolution with an amendment to the last paragraph and have it state, at the end here, be it further resolved that this board affirms its support for the duly elected sheriff of Gage County, Nebraska, and his, her, continuing efforts to uphold the United States-Nebraska constitutions and will oppose any law that would infringe on the right of legal citizens to keep and bear arms, including but not limited to limitations, registration, excess levy or fees, or seizure at any time.
I would second that motion.
Motion by Haxby, second by Byers. Is that what, that's this?
That's that, yes.
Okay, let me hand this.
There wasn't too much change. It was just his, her for the sheriff, and then a little bit at the end.
Is this, you've reviewed this, Roger?
Yeah, I just want to make sure.
So this is the most current resolution, and it's
there
been...
There wasn't much changed. It was just like a few words at the end, and then his, her for the sheriff.
And Mr. Shuler, you had a comment or question for...
Well, yeah, I wanted to ask Mr. Harris and our Sheriff Gustafson to comment on this resolution and how they're the ones that's going to impact the most and what their feelings are on it.
Well, I'll just make the point. This is a what I call a position resolution. It's basically taking a position publicly and saying we support the Second Amendment. Now, you can get into details on this. I was talking to Emily. You know, I saw a brief that was about 200 pages long, a much better brief than I could ever write, on the Second Amendment. And that's not the purpose here, because we don't have the power of Congress, unfortunately.
I shouldn't say
that. No, I shouldn't say that.
Anyhow, from my perspective as a law enforcement officer in Gage County, I'll continue to uphold the statutes, the ordinances, and I do get involved with federal law only tangentially with, like, U.S. Marshals, U.S. Attorney's Office, that kind of thing, cooperating. I think Sheriff Gustafson is kind of the same situation I am. If there's a law out there, we're supposed to enforce it. We do. And that's, from that standpoint, I don't see that this would cause us anything, any more than, like, we did a resolution on livestock-friendly county. I don't know when that was, a couple of years ago. Basically saying that we support livestock industry here in Gage County. I think we've also had resolutions like on autism, some things like that. And again, as things come up and you folks are asked to support things, you know, that's up to this board whether or not they take a public stand as a body, as opposed to individually or whatever. So, at least from the county attorney's office, I don't have any problem with this. Again, on specifics.
How did you feel about the second, longer version, which is not the case now, but that was not come to a decision till today?
This was the first one that we had with just some
and
small
then there
changes.
Was a second version, which was still up for debate
and
today.
A third and a fourth. And if someone wants to, I mean, the process, if you would like to amend that resolution to include language from the other one.
Certainly not.
Okay. what I would like to do just real briefly is read this. There was a lot of different wording, but this one's very brief, so I'll read through it real quickly. Whereas the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution provides that it is the right of the people to keep and bear arms, and that right shall not be infringed. And whereas Article 1, Section 1-1 of the Nebraska Constitution also provides the right to keep and bear arms specifically for security of defense of self, family, home, and others, and for lawful common defense, hunting, recreational use, and all other lawful purposes, and all provides that such right shall not be infringed. And whereas the United States Supreme Court in the District of Columbia versus Heller, 554 U.S. 570, 2008, affirmed an individual's right to possess firearms unconnected with service in a militia for traditionally lawful purposes such as self-defense within the home, and whereas it is the desire of the Gage County Board of Supervisors to declare its support of the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution and Article 1, Section 1-1 of the Nebraska Constitution, and now therefore be it resolved that the County Board of Supervisors hereby declares that we support the rights and liberties of all Gage County citizens, guaranteed by the United States and Nebraska constitutions. Be it further resolved that this board affirms its support for the duly elected sheriff of Gage County, Nebraska, and his or her continuing efforts to uphold the United States and Nebraska constitutions, and will oppose any law that would infringe on the right of legal citizens to keep and bear arms, including, but not limited to, limitations, registration, excess levy or fees, or seizure at any time. Pretty brief for a resolution. Ms. Haxby.
Can I make a quick comment on it?
You bet.
I appreciate listening to everyone and those who reached out through messages, phone calls, and emails. I went with a shorter version of this resolution. As Roger had said, when you get more specific, we have a chance to leave something out. And so as a statement of our support, I agree that this is probably adequate and covers the Second Amendment as a whole. I took the time to look at other types of resolutions, and I found that there's been 1,009 counties in 41 states that have declared themselves as Second Amendment sanctuary counties. There's only 3,142 counties in the entire U.S., so that's 32% that have already made this same kind of statement. I heard from many people in support of this resolution with a couple in opposition. I just wanted to address a couple of those in opposition. We're mostly similar in the fact that it's not that they didn't support the Second Amendment. It was that we had better things to do with our time. If there's anyone that thinks that there's something that we need to address, please reach out and let us know, and we want to address it. I don't want you to think that we're not getting to the important things with this by taking time to do this resolution. I support this resolution, and I hope to see other counties follow. If other counties also make the same type of statement, it would show support for bills in our legislature right now, like LB 188, which is in committee in our legislature, which would essentially make our state a Second Amendment state.
I'm very much in support of this. I think we've seen our federal government move forward. We see our state moving forward. And we as a county need to move forward in support of those entities. And what we're doing here is moving forward with what we've established as a Second Amendment right. And I think we need to continue doing this.
Mr. Lytle?
Just briefly, had a couple of real good speakers here, said some really good things. I think it's important that we do stay aware of what is going on around us. It is not that they'll come out and take your guns at this point, or they will not change your rights right at this point, but they will take little pieces at a time. And it's livestock, guns, it's all kind of the same. Little pieces at a time, and one morning you wake up and you realize what's not there anymore. So I think it is important that we do this, and I appreciate all the work that Emily has put into this. Thank you.
Mr. Juergens?
We're not changing anything here. We're just reaffirming the existing laws that we have right now, that the Gage County Board is in support of those laws.
Well said.
Put your mic down.
Mr. Shuler?
Yes. Well, I want to make it clear that I feel and I'm passionate about the Second Amendment as the rest of you. This has nothing, my decision on this has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. It has to do with us as a county board representing taxpayers, and as my oath says, being impartial as a board member to whether this is something we should be doing. It doesn't mean I disagree with any of you. There are many threats to our United States Constitution. There has been for years, and there will continue to be threats in many ways. Do we discuss and pass resolutions on every one of these we all have concerns about? You know, I for one, feel like we should amend this resolution to include that there's no infringements on our voting rights.
That sounds like an earmark to me. It's not really relevant to this.
Well, what do you consider relevant?
Well, I mean...
I mean, is this a personal agenda? It seems to me it's a personal agenda for the Second Amendment, and I'm in favor of the Second Amendment.
Well, your vote will show that then, Mr. Shuler.
It won't, because of the way it does not show. It shows favoritism one way or the other for the Second Amendment, and it has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. Not my vote. It has to do with what we are doing as a county board. That's my opinion. Everybody has their own opinion. I've heard from both parties. I've had more against this than I have. I've had 9 contact me, not against the Second Amendment, but against that we're spending time on this. And the 4 that called me that were negative had not read the resolutions. One of them did and preferred the shorter version, as I will agree. I certainly approve of this resolution. But whether we should be doing it as a board. And yes, I've read my oath, and that's why I'm basing my decision on this. We are to be impartial. And you talk about taking power by gun. It says we will not partake in violence.
And that's the process we're going through here, peacefully going through it through the process.
We're peacefully, but the comments were that those who have guns are in power, correct?
Well, you've got to study history. I mean,
isn't that what we were told here today?
I think the...
And my oath says I will have nothing to do with violence.
All right. Are there any other comments, Mr. Lytle?
Yeah. Don, if you want to propose an amendment to the resolution, go ahead and propose it. I'll second it. We can vote on it. You have that right as a board member to go ahead and do that.
Well, I'm merely making a point.
It's my
Gary.
I got the floor. Secondly, if you want to bring a resolution for voting rights, and want to put in there that I'll support that also. If as long as you put in there that you got to have documented verification of who you are, if you want to put something in for voting rights, I'm all for that too. We can do that. I don't see a great threat to my voting rights, though.
Well, that's each of our opinions.
Sure,
That's my point, Gary. I'm not trying to. I agree with everybody, and the concerns that we have, and what's happening with our government. There's no doubt we're all on the same page.
We're not, though. That's the thing. Ms. Haxby?
It was just a real short question. Isn't it our place to represent our constituents and their rights also?
Absolutely. Although we're not going to agree as in the board, all the time, each of us is trying to represent those people. I'm sure Mr. Shuler's trying to represent his constituents in the way he feels correct, the same as I hope each of you are. It doesn't mean we're going to agree, but... That's part of the process, and like I say, that's part of what makes this country great. We get to disagree, we get to debate things, we get to listen to the public, and then we get to cast our vote.
I call the question.
Thank you, Senator. We have a motion by Haxby, second by Byers, to approve the resolution as read. Resolution number...
Oh,
we have to vote on the question. Do we need a second for calling the question?
Call the question.
Okay.
That ceases debate and then moves the primary motion to the front.
So do we need to vote on? Okay.
It's a voice vote. Do it. You got electronic. Go ahead.
Okay. Call a question by Senator. Second by Juergens. Please vote. 6 in favor with Shuler voting nay. Motion carries. We'll move on to vote. We have a motion to approve the resolution number 21-05 as read to support the Second Amendment. Since question is called, debate is over. I would ask you to vote. 6 in favor with Shuler voting no. Motion carries. I want to thank everyone again for coming. I got some calls against as well as some emails, some really good constructive things on both sides. we're not always going to agree, but I really appreciate people taking the time to actually visit and talk to us about things, as well as showing up today. If nothing else comes out of this, I think we have some more people thinking about what we need to do to be active, to, I guess, push a personal agenda or push the agenda of the people you know, the agenda of the public. So thank you all very much for coming. And you're all welcome to stay the rest of the morning as we go through a little more mundane items. But thank you all for coming. We do appreciate it. With that, we'll take a 5-minute recess before continuing on at 9:45. We will reconvene at 9:54 on the clock with a much emptier house.
Nobody wanted to stay.
I would ask for a motion to approve or disapprove recommendation of Roger Henricks as the manager for the Gage County Agricultural Society. Mr. Steve Whitwer has resigned that post, and this would be filling his spot.
We did?
Steve Whitwer, I believe.
Oh, Steve Whit?
It's Steve off. Did Steve step down completely, or is he just from... So he's not on the board at all anymore?
I believe he's completely off. Is that right, Eddie?
Yes.
Really?
Completely off the ag board.
Oh. He said 15 years was long enough.
No, he's got...
He's given us a lot of time out there.
And it does take energy. And
yes. He is still on the planning and zoning. They were at the meeting working last night again, as was Doug.
I make that motion.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Haxby. Any discussion? Seeing none, please vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. 6 in favor, motion carries. Thank you. I would receive. Galen, do you want to give us your recommendation for the highway from, I guess, do you want to give us your recommendation on rock and gravel bids?
Sure, we'll do. I'll just go real briefly over the rock and gravel bids that we had 2 weeks ago and accepted all the bids. Beatrice Sand and Gravel was the low and only bidder for supplying gravel for March 10th, 2021 through March 9th, 2022. The Powell Pit Gravel came in at $13.75 a ton. The Alex Pit Gravel is $13.90 a ton. And basically, the Powell Pit went up 80 cents per ton from last year, and the Alex Pit went up 75 cents per ton from last year. There was three companies that bid hauling the gravel. The After Sand and Gravel, R.L. Tiemann Construction Incorporated, and Rock On. Now, Rock On was the low bid for hauling gravel out of the Powell and the Alex Pit for all the townships. And I recommend giving the hauling to the low bidder, who is Rock On, for hauling out of the Powell Pit first and hauling out of the Alex Pit when the Powell Pit is not producing gravel. Briefly on the rock, we had two bidders for supplying rock for the March 10th, 21 through March 9th of 22. And that should be March 9th for 22 on the top one, too. Excuse me. Sites, two bidders were Beatrice Concrete Sites Quarry and Hard Rock Quarries of Barnston Quarry. Hard Rock Quarry was low bidder for 3/4 inch rock through 3 inch to 5 inch rock. The pit price is $16.50 a ton. Beatrice Concrete pit price for 3/4 inch through 3 inch to 5 inch rock was $17.40 per ton. Both quarries went up 50 cents a ton for the price of rock compared to last year. That's all I got. And I recommend, like I said, giving that to Rock On for the trucking of the gravel.
Any questions for Galen? Seeing none, we'll move on. You might stay up there just in case. We'll move on. I'd ask for a motion to approve or disapprove the rock and gravel bids and recommendation of County Highway Superintendent.
Where Terry go?
Move to approve.
Second.
Omaha or Lincoln. Moved by Lytle. Second by Byers?
Sure.
Sorry if I missed it. To approve rock and gravel bids. Any discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Six in favor. Motion carries.
He can't give the report.
Emily, put him over on.
Up next, approve or disapprove resolution to commence foreclosure, thank you, Galen, of tax sale certificates in 2021. And we all got a report of those.
21-06.
Resolution 21-06.
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Dorn. Any discussion on tax foreclosure sale certificates? Seeing none, please vote. Six in favor. Motion carries. Thank you. Committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights.
He just continues working on the sheriff's office over there. He spends all his time over there.
Does he even never make it over here, or is he over there fairly full time?
I think almost 24 hours a day most of the time.
He wears a brown shirt a lot of times now.
I've noticed that.
PT security.
We don't have anything unusual other than what he was telling he's doing on committee.
The broken door on the south side and looking at the projects over by the guest stop.
Right. And he's had people here who have done work before looking at the stone and what have you on the outside of the building.
That was unintentional, Gary. Looking,
you have something to offer,
looking at
Gary.
Stuff over at the evidence storage building. Sorry, Gus.
That's what's called
up
the
call
now.
Equalization.
No, other than the Odell properties, that we're doing really great.
Finance and insurance.
Terry's gone.
See him none. Move on.
if there's nothing for finance and insurance.
We covered all the bills after the meeting on Monday, and everything went real well.
Total audit amount was $611,770.05.
Don, were you happy with how the audit came out?
They worked with me very well. So, yeah. I mean, we've got some things that they always suggest, which is good. I mean, you know.
Right. Which is why we have them do it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, things change every audit.
And every time you get a different auditor.
They're always friendly.
He deals with different ones than I deal with.
I don't know. See, he's single. He can just sleep.
I think everything came out well. There's always suggestions for different offices. It's a great checks and balance. Some stuff we left the same that they recommended changing. Other stuff was changed to fit.
We always learn from those audits. We learn always, and it's good. It's very good.
Human resources, employee relations.
Hey, Eric.
Oh, sorry.
On insurance, do we want to discuss it all or mention the Emily or?
Oh, Amber, she's under the Olson umbrella now instead of Northwestern Mutual. It had to do with the retirement of the head Northwestern Mutual. So she'll still be our representative. Nothing will change. She just will have a different name on her business card. So,
which is good.
Same product, just different.
Right, and Lowell is still part of it, so we won't see a change on our side.
Lowell continues to be our local rep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No, that's a good point. Human resources, employee relations. I don't think we really had anything for that, did we?
Not unless you're going to talk about the assistant highway superintendent.
Well, that would be something that was approved earlier.
That was in the consent
agenda to look for an assistant to work with Galen, and hopefully we find someone.
Oh, that's going to be pretty tough. Work with him.
Law enforcement emergency management. As the sheriff's coming up, I would like to show you all this letter. We've been inspected at the jail again, and I see a bunch of stars on this. Full compliance with our jail. So that's good news as we had our jail standards inspection.
It's always good news with that facility. It's always good news. So staff works hard. We try to keep it going. And days were there a lot, yes, because he tries to get us to that point where we can get that letter. So I do appreciate his help.
Well, and you have you have corrected some serious issues
over
the last
big time.
Several years.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
You know, what was it, six, seven years ago, it wouldn't pass.
Yeah.
Even with the grandfather clause, it
wouldn't
pass.
Yeah, when I took office, I proposed it to the jail standards board. We try to make these corrections over a five-year period, and we ended up just about on starting that sixth year. We were able to get the big ones done. So we got there. It just took us a while. Just a couple things to bring up speed on. I have a contract over with Roger Osby be looking at right now, drafted for our animal control officer. We've been using him for a while. He helps us out big time on our animal calls, and I thought probably more appropriate to have something in writing that we both signed. It's fairly similar to what city has, just not quite as encompassing because we don't have a lot of stuff that the city does with ordinances, but we still have one that we probably going to have signed. So
still the same guy, right?
Same guy, yeah.
Did he send you one, or did Roger send
you one? No, I drafted. It's a rough draft, and then they're looking at it, and then they'll put their Juris Doctorate on it and get it back to me. And I'll probably call insurance carrier as well just to make sure. I think he has a $300,000 liability on there, and I told him to include us on that as well. If that's enough for them, I don't know. I don't know if you've seen that yet. You talked to Amanda on it yet or anything?
She's looking at work.
Okay. Okay, so. Back to LB 51. We had another meeting earlier this week, a Zoom meeting with sheriffs. Obviously, that's going to pass in some form. We were hoping to get a cut down on the amount of training hours we're going to have. In any case, it's probably going to make a difference to budget. So I've just pretty much did away with the part-time program with the deputies right now because it costs, first of all, it costs money when you hire them to get them equipped. And then if we have to have additional training, I know they're going to sit there and say, well, you can do a lot of that on a computer, on the car. Well, that don't, it sounds good, it doesn't work that way. And I just know we're going to have some overtime money there spent on that with them. So, we only had three left. It was pretty limited. So I told them, I said, we might bring program back down the road. I don't know. But right now, I asked them to do one shift a month, and I can't seem to get that. They're all busy with their jobs or whatever. We can't get in and do that. So it's just I eliminated. Maybe save a few bucks here and there. We'll see how it goes. But that's where that is right now.
Is that LB?
LB 51.
LB 51.
Yeah. I've talked to Myron two or three times, and it's Senator Lathrop from Omaha, I believe it is, the one that's on that. And they're trying to get a balance. He's trying to do something to help us out instead of just see those ways it's going to be between law enforcement and maybe what the groups that deal with all the issues we see on TV, kind of how they might, if we can kind of meet a medium ground on that. It's going to change how we do things, there's no doubt, for training. But we're going to try to get a little bit less restrictive for us if we can and still add some hours. But hopefully we can blend that between actual on-site and computer and however it turns out, I don't know yet. But we'll find out. But they're still working on that. I'm sure that'll get out of committee into the floor for debate. I'm pretty sure of that. So that's about...
To on with savings... do we have the statewide radio system? We're not paying on that anymore, correct?
We are. Roger's been working on that with...
We are paying on it yet?
Yeah.
What are you...
Well, I talked to them twice, and then basically they're supposed to send a confirmation. So I thought that...
It's on process. It's in the waiting period or the shutdown or whatever they have.
Well, obviously they don't want to... I also brought up the fact that they default... Well, we don't want to do this on open mic, but... I don't think that they lived up to their end of the bargain, so I tried to get some.
Should we go to closed session and discuss? Is there some things? That, I mean, like, should we? Do we have anything that we need to be doing, Roger? I mean,
no. I mean, it's one of those things. I just want them to know that, you know, because obviously we were one of those folks they were really excited about having us on board. When was this? How many years ago?
We gave them
had
notice,
them for about
I think,
4 years.
Last year already, or okay. Middle
yeah,
of last year.
Remember, they're going to take the tower and all that stuff. So,
we didn't give them notice.
Basically, what I was looking at was if we have any opportunity to recoup some of that. And I'll go ahead and just send a certified letter and terminate the thing. But I wanted to see if we could get something back and forth between.
Sure.
But I don't think that's going to happen without.
That's I guess that's potential my point. Litigation. We need to send a notice saying that we're done,
yeah.
So that because the more longer they just drag their feet, it's that much farther out.
It's impacting that 9/11 agreement too. to an extent. Is there, remember, they had to get the console?
That is something else for law enforcement emergency management. 911 agreement was going to be on the agenda today. We have the agreement. I had Roger take a look at it. There's a piece missing. Was it the wrong MOU or?
Well, yeah. That's not the one we were talking about.
I don't remember what it was. It was an MOU for the governing board instead of.
Yeah, as opposed to the MOU. And maybe that's just, you know, we're talking about the MOU with the city. My impression was that was what we were going to work out with the other community or the other town or, excuse me, villages and cities that we give money to make sure there's a continuity there for funding.
We got this Tuesday, yesterday, Tuesday. Mm-hmm. There's no problem with the 911 agreement, though, other than we're missing a piece of it.
The agreement that basically we had, that I thought we had, and I think that everybody else thought we had, just to say that it was going to be done. I mean, that was the assurance, and I think that's what Eric worked out with them, was initially we wanted it as part of the agreement. And there's a little back and forth on that. So I think we just need to make sure that's in there. And I understand it's a, you know, red flag priority one for them.
But the 911 agreement, county and city have basically come to agreement. It's just we need to get that, the MOU for the rurals and the,
yeah,
the rurals and the
I would
fire and rescue and any other outside entity.
Probably just leave it down two separate ones because the one doesn't impact the other one.
Could you reach out to Tobias on that? And
I was going to say, yeah.
Or do we want to just approve it like that and then amend it to add what you need as we approve it?
Well, again, it's going to be retroactive.
Right, yeah.
So yeah, that's important. What I mean.
There's another MOU.
Are you trying to say what's another 2 weeks?
Exactly. I mean, I know it's, you know, the city, and that's fine, but we're not going anywhere. I mean, Gus isn't going to, you know, get two tin cans of the string and start using that.
Yeah, we tried that. It didn't work.
No, couldn't find string long enough.
Well, the problem was they kept walking the same speed and it would go limp.
Yeah.
Oops. Okay, so that'll be on in 2 weeks. Don, let's make sure that's on in 2 weeks. Hopefully, I love throwing stuff on Roger's plate. But hopefully, Roger and Tobias will have.
No, and that, again, I think he's working on the one, and I was going to work on the other because I talked to Don. I thought we had an original MOU with the
We do have an MOU to review for the governing board.
Okay.
But not for the
Cities, okay.
The villages and the rurals, if I understand.
Roger wants me to look further back. This is just a new one, but I'll go through my. I didn't have time yesterday.
No, that's fine. I understand that.
Yeah,
we'll get to that. Yes, sir.
One thing that before we move away from law enforcement, Gus, what's your all the training and this is, I mean, gosh, seems like it compounds every year. It seems like it's always continually adding more and more, and it becomes more of a struggle. What is your opinion as to why this stuff keeps coming down? I mean, why was Lathrop so into this? Was this a deal to get in front of a TV and say, oh, I'm doing something to improve something? Or what's I just don't
well I think
just don't get why legislators can continue to put more training on top of you. We're going to be to the point where you're going to have two staffs, one that's gone to training and one that's doing the work.
I've got the one from here that I got to send to St. Louis for training for a machine. Luckily Roger was able to help us out, and that was almost $1,000 just for registration. Then I hold transportation costs. And the thing that's frustrating, COVID didn't help there because we only have one training and only allowed 12 people from the entire country. So hopefully we got in. But, yeah, I don't know. I think Lathrop, maybe Danny knows for sure. I think he's from Omaha area, right? Is he, Danny? Yeah. And from what I'm hearing of the sheriffs and on the Zoom meetings, I think he's getting pressure from the side over here that you're seeing a lot of things on TV and hearing about how law enforcement, you know, and what they're doing wrong and they're asking people the wrong way and not doing this and that, and maybe more training. We already passed it where we have to have two more hours on top of what we have currently for anti-bias and sensitivity training. So then we had 22, and then we're going to add, they're talking 40. Whether we get them back down from that number or not, I don't know. Then I have to have 18 because I'm jail certified. And you're right, the training is getting to be a real problem for me, trying to get, because you can't do everything on a computer. I mean, let's just face it, it doesn't work that way.
Well, what's happened is the issues they've had up there, and it is falling down on everyone else all the way through the state that doesn't have the same problems.
Yeah.
But he's trying to throw it out there so he can make his people.
I will say the way you speak to me different times when no one's around, you could use some sensitivity training, Sheriff.
Yeah. Well, it's who I'm talking to, Mr. Chairman.
Part should have seen him before he had sensitivity training.
Part of it goes along with that, though, is that at some point our lawmakers need to understand that these guys have a job to do. And I want them trained up so that they're doing it right and fairly and taking into account all the situations. But at some point, like Senator Lathrop, maybe we need to look at our constituents and say, listen, they're law enforcement, and when they ask you to comply, for God's sakes, comply. And don't disregard a law enforcement officer.
Right.
That, I mean, part of the problem is that we're looking at our law enforcement officers and we're saying, you got to do better, when they're doing everything they can.
And getting stuff not always the nicest treatment.
No.
Right. And so, you weren't willing to say it, but I'm going to say it. You know, you guys do a job, and there's not a lot of people that want to do that job. And there is no amount of training that you can do if we as citizens aren't going to obey, aren't going to act appropriately when we're in public and when we're asked to do something by a law enforcement officer. A lot of these cases that get blown up, and I don't know why they get blown up, but a lot of these cases that are getting blown up, if they just comply, it wouldn't be a problem.
There's an old adage, bad facts make bad law.
That's right.
And unfortunately, you see the bad facts cases all the time on 24/7 cable news.
Yep. They get the coverage.
And I'm not going to excuse an officer that has his knee on somebody's neck.
Sure.
You know, now, show me the 5 minutes before that, and, you know, maybe he had a knife that he was wrestling away and wants to make sure he doesn't have another weapon. But we leave that out, and that's, I'm not using the Minnesota, and that's a horrible example, and look what it resulted in. Every whiz-bang dingbat in the country decides to protest. Well, you don't have to protest something like that. That's just horrific. And I don't think you've ever heard somebody in law enforcement say that was justified or even excused in any sense of the word. But we're still protesting. Why? Wait until the trial's over. Then if you're unhappy with the result of a jury, protest.
We've just gotten to the place where, because of the news media, they're blowing this stuff up, and you have people that are trying to get attention, and so they're big mouths.
They're not used to having people like Doug and Scott that just tell us the facts.
I was going to say, not all news media. We had it pretty good here.
Well, the other thing you're looking at that's starting to hurt us is conditional officer. What we do now is you hire somebody. For us, we go through a 12-week pretty intensive FTO training.
And then they quit.
Well, they go back to the road.
Seriously.
Okay? Now they're trying to get it to where they can't, unless you got a gun, a badge, and certified, you can't use them. And it could take up 2 years to get them to the academy. So that means they're going to sit around and twiddle their thumbs and can't do nothing for us. That's going to kill all that small agency. And I'm considered middle size, but that's a killer. I don't know what their justification is. We've never been had any issues with our FTO program, people going out. They always have somebody certified that's got training that can be there with them and back them up if they need it. But that's going to be a killer if that one gets through. So something to watch. So.
My opinion is sometime law enforcement has to get back the authority of wearing that badge. Because they have lost it.
And I'm not trying to say this disrespectfully. Some of that will come back through just good old-fashioned policing instead of the paramilitary action, though, too. I mean, that's a scary thing.
People skills.
People look at that that police officer differently than they do Gus walking around through a crowd, talking to people, knowing people. It's completely different. That law officer that you know and that you know cares, they get that respect because there's that mutual respect back and forth. Gus has talked about this. They come out of the academy, and I guess I see it with the State Patrol more than I do other agencies locally, but the attitude needs to go both ways. I mean, that mutual respect should be there. And
yeah, I know.
Gus, I'll give you credit. You don't have that persona to you. You have that policing persona where you're here to help.
A lot of it is if you'd stay at a place for a while and work, people get to know the face and the name. And secondly, a lot of it's personality. There's some people I can have for several years that they're just different. You know, they're not as approachable as I would be. And my attitude and what I say reflects what's given to me. You know, I'll get along with you fine, but we'll go to a point and then it's all over. It's going to go to breakfast the next Monday morning, you know. But, it's a challenge nowadays. It's an unbelievable challenge, so we're not getting better either.
Well, we appreciate what you do, Sheriff, even though we tease you.
I know all the time, right?
If we got reimbursed some from putting the city people in our jail, it'd be a lot better.
Yeah, I don't know where that's going to go, Denny.
on the road and bridge, Mr. Dorn.
Working on it, Gus.
Got it? Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay. Terry just gave me the sheet before he left.
Well,
you got
go
it.
Ahead.
No, you've got
go
it.
Go ahead.
Not everybody at once, please.
Yeah. Crews have been busy. Did some snow removal, hauled some riprap, crack sealed some on Odell again. Bridge crews cutting brush and repairing bridge decks. We got our recommendation for rock and gravel bid. Spot rock and running rock miles. County is caught up. New engine for motor grader. We get two for the price of one.
And just for the record, it didn't say again on the Odell, but did you notice how much work the Odell area does get?
Did you say two for the price of one or one for the price of two?
That's probably what it'll be.
One got lost someplace, and I don't know where it's at.
Anything else for the good of the order?
So well, if we just did as much work up at Claytonia as we do at Odell, we'd be a lot better off.
We almost need a separate crew for Odell. But anything else for the good of the order? Thank you all. With that, I'd ask for a motion to adjourn at 10:21 on the clock.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Dorn.
Gary.
Seconded by Haxby.
Gary. It's been shipped, but they don't
at 10:22. Please vote.
Shipped another one.
5 in favor with Lytle voting nay. We are adjourned.
It's been good conversation.